Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you open with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and we'll begin in the 26th verse there. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion, for we are many." And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now, a herd of swine was feeding there on the mountain, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it to the city and to the country. And then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now down to verse 38. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged Jesus that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your house. Tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed through the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. So it was, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, move us close to you. Father, shake us from any sin that is in our lives. And Father, let us move to your will and to your purposes. Thank you for what you will do in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We are living in a world that's being overcome by illness, and we tend to pay attention to illness. We tend to be very caring for most people that have illness. If a person has cancer, we all grieve with them in that process. If they have another known disease, we generally will seek to come to their aid. We all want to know what we can do. If they have COVID-19, we want them to stay away from us and get well. But we'll pray for them. We're really quick to want to help those that have come down with some physical malady, some illness that has overtaken them. But there is an area of disease that we kind of push away. There is an area of disease that we stay away from, that we want to try to say it doesn't exist, and sometimes we even get angry with the people that suffer from it. It is the area of mental illness, and mental illness is real. Now, I was a psychology major at the University of Alabama, and it was a good field of study for me. I benefited some from it, though I disagreed a lot with it. But in that process of being a psychology major, one of the things that I had to do was I had to serve an internship at our state mental facility. Now, Bryce Mental Hospital has been a scary place to some in the state of Alabama, and I got to serve an internship there. And when I served the internship there, I did not get assigned to the milder wards. No, I got assigned to the security ward. I got assigned to the place where there were some very, very scary people. Now, some of the people were very sweet. I remember a dear lady that I would talk with from time to time, and she was so sweet, and I talked with her a few times. I went and talked to her one day, and she told me how beautiful the day was and how wonderful the nurses had been to her. And then she said, "I'm going to kill them tonight." And so I moved a little bit further away from her. But one day in my process of being an intern, I got there. I went in, had no problem. Knew the people at the door by that time, and so the guard let me in. Served my time. Came time for me to leave. And I didn't know until that time that I had left my identification credentials in the car. Now, on that particular ward, people dressed normally, and so they were dressed as I was dressed. And I went to the guard, which I knew when I went in, but shifts had changed, and I did not know the guard when it was time to leave. And so I went up and said, "Hi, it's time for me to go." And I was greeted with a stare, and then the comment, "Wouldn't you like to go back to your room?" Now, several of the people I had talked to that day about that time came up to me, put their hand on my shoulder, and said, "It's time for us to go too." I waited in that ward for what seemed like an eternity. I know it only was probably a few minutes, but it seemed like a long, long time. Surrounded by people who were not my best friends, but who were acting like it at that moment, and that was even more scary. You know, eventually I got out, which is why I'm here, but I have kind of an understanding of what the disciples must have thought when this crazed man, without clothes, covered in filth, came running from the tombs where the dead are, screaming and shouting and approaching them. I would have gotten back in the boat. But they were with Jesus, so they felt kind of okay, I am sure. But it was a scary moment. And you know, possibly others would have been scared by this crazy individual. He didn't start out that way. You know, when he was a small boy, he was probably loved. When he grew up in the city, he was probably treated as everybody else was treated. It is very likely that he had a home, that he had a wife, that he had children. There was a time when he was accepted in the city, but then he came to have a mental situation. Now, his mental situation was caused by a possession of demons. And that possession drove the man and controlled the man. Some people tried to work with him. In verse 29, it says, "Often he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness." They had chained him. They had bound him. They had tried to control him. They had clothed him. But he often broke free, and ultimately he ran to hide in the tombs. I'm sure the people feared this man. I can imagine parents telling their children, "They better behave or Legion might get them." You know, it would not be uncommon for him to be howling in the evenings, and they would be scared. The man ran up to Jesus, screaming, tormented, and he is challenged by Jesus. In verse 28, "When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God, Most High? I beseech you, torment me not.'" The demons immediately recognized who Jesus was. They understood his presence. They understood his power. Listen, the forces of evil in this world are aware of Jesus. They're aware of the power of his name. Now, to most people today are not really concerned if you say that you believe in God. Most people today are okay with that. They clump your belief in God with everybody else's belief in God. They see no difference in your statement that you believe in God from the Muslim that says that they believe in God, or from the Hindu that says they believe in gods, because they don't believe in God. They don't mind if you say that you do, and they clump all the gods they don't believe in together. They don't mind you talking about God. They don't mind you praying to God. There have been many occasions I've been called and asked to have an invocation to pray at an event of some kind, and they don't mind that I pray. However, when you start talking about Jesus, things change. The same people that will offer me the opportunity to come and pray will often say, "But just don't pray in Jesus' name." You see, when you bring Jesus into it, it changes things. Jesus brings a reality to the situation. And what they don't understand is I have to pray in Jesus' name because that's the only name that I can pray in that has power to do anything. The forces of evil are threatened by the name of Jesus. The liberality of our world is threatened by the name of Jesus. The demons knew who Jesus was. They knew they were in the presence of God's Son. They knew that they were in the presence of God Himself. They were terrified by Jesus, the Most High. This poor demon-possessed man had been totally controlled by the evil in his life. Maybe you have known them. Maybe you have been them. Person that seemingly is okay most of the time, but there is an evil that controls. And there's an evil that takes over. This man is a graphic picture of what sin can do in a life. Sin enters your life simply. We don't know how or what this man did to open himself up to demon possession, but there was something there. It probably didn't seem like a big deal at first. In most cases, that's the way sin is. The sin at the outset doesn't seem like a big deal. It seems okay. It's okay with others in the world, so it should be okay with you. Sin's okay, but the devil won't leave you okay. Sin will not leave you okay. In this man's life, one demon must have opened the door to other demons. By the way, that's what sin does. One sin will open the door to other sins. You find yourself doing some things eventually that you never thought that you would possibly do. And yet you have been step by step moving further and further away from God's purposes and further into an evil world. And you don't even recognize the things that you're doing as being wrong. This poor man was not even aware his life was no longer his own. I don't know how many times I've talked to individuals that had lost their life and they were not aware that they had lost it. Sin had led him to find his home with the dead. That's not normal. Let me be honest with you. Sin is a killer. Now, when I say sin, you can fill in that word with whatever sin that you want to, but whatever sin you come up with, it is a killer. We think of little sins, little sins, that's my sins. We think of big sins, well, that's your sins. I don't care what sin you're going to name. I don't care what sin you fill the gap in. All sins are killers. Sin will rob from you the very life that you cherish. Sin will kill hope. Sin will kill peace. Sin will kill love. Sin will kill forgiveness, and sin will blind you so that you don't even realize how bad that you've gotten to be. This man did not realize how far he had fallen. sin will put you in a world of filth. This man was filthy, naked, and alone. Think of the filth that has overtaken our world. The drunkenness and drugs often lead to filth. Pornography leads to a filth of dehumanizing others. You may take a small step into sin, and before you know it, you're in the gutter of filth. That's what sin does. It can do it to anybody's life. I read a message by Dr. Ken Trivett where he told the story of another certain man. It seems this man was found unconscious and was taken to New York's Bellevue Hospital. He was in terrible shape. He was another John Doe picked up in the Bowery. The Bowery was where people went for debauchery. It is a place where many lost their lives, and he was there. His throat had been slashed. Certainly he was not in good shape at all. The lowest of the low were known to hang out in the Bowery. And so he ended up there in drunkenness, loneliness. It was a place of drugs and disease. It's the last stop for many lost souls during that period of time. The doctors had seen it too many times. The man looked twice his age. He had drunk his life away and fallen into a world of unconscious and barely alive. All the doctor had to close his wounds was a black thread, and so he sewed up the gash in his neck with a black thread, which made the man even look more pitiable. He suffered there, in and out of consciousness, for 3 days, and then died. His body was put with other John Does. He was marked and ready to be buried in a pauper's grave when a man came looking for him. A friend had searched for him, searched the hospital, and then searched the morgue and recognized him. They put together his belongings. He had 38 cents and a slip of paper. The paper just had written on it, "Dear friends and gentle hearts." Well, this tragic death came to a man that was only 38 years of age. He had written other things in his life, music that had brought happiness to many. Perhaps you've heard of some of them: "Camptown Races," "Oh Susanna," "Beautiful Dreamer," "Old Folks at Home," "My Old Kentucky Home," Stephen Foster. He was called the most famous songwriter of the 19th century. We don't know what happened, but we do know Satan and sin can wreck a life. Sin will trap you. It will hold you down. It will rob from you. Sin will gain control of you. It is easy for us to know today why somebody that uses alcohol or drugs will say they are wasted. For certainly, such things can waste a life. When Jesus comes to shore, this man had wasted his life. The evil in this man is challenged by Jesus, just like darkness is challenged by the coming light. And today, perhaps your life could be challenged by Jesus. Any morsel of sin in your life would be challenged by Jesus. You know what we call that? We call that conviction. And conviction is important. Conviction is what diagnoses that you have something in your life that doesn't belong there, that needs to be removed. And only God can remove it. And so Jesus brings a challenge. And when we see a command by Jesus in verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man." This man was controlled, filled with evil. He was asked his name by Jesus, and he said, "Legion, for we are many." There were 6,000 men in a Roman legion. So as many as 6,000 demons could be possessing this one man. Once you open your life to evil, other evil will follow. You've seen it. You know it. It happens to others. It can happen to you. This man was controlled, filled with this evil spirit. Now, sin will control you. Others couldn't control his evil. He couldn't control his evil. He would be chained and under the power of the demons. He would break the chains. Where he couldn't control his evil and others couldn't control his evil, the evil powers that held this man were no match for Jesus. And may I say, anything that has taken over your life, any sin that has invaded your life, is no match for Jesus. He can give you what you need to get away. He can give you what you need to be free. The demons make a request. They understand who Jesus is. They understand what Jesus' power is. And they make a request that they not be sent into the pit, into the abyss. It's interesting to note that these demons understand that there is a judgment coming. They understand that there is a place of judgment that they will not be able to return from. And so they don't want to go to that place. One day, you will stand before Jesus. One day, you will face a judgment. One day, there will be a reality of a test for you, and you will either have Jesus or you will not. If you die without Jesus, you die in your sin, and your sin will not pass judgment, and there is an eternal destiny for those that die without Jesus. It is called hell, and it is real. We do no one a service not to tell them of the reality of a life without Jesus. So Jesus displays mercy to the demons. Jesus was very merciful. He would be merciful to you. He was merciful to these demons. They would be in their eternal place soon enough. There was a herd of swine close by, and he allowed them to go there. Now, I've actually seen the cliff where this took place, and they have it identified. They believe this to be the place. It's the only place in the region that it could have been. It is a very high area. And then it falls off very, very steeply. And so when those swine had the demons come into them, immediately they ran to the edge of that high drop off, and it is a very steep embankment. And once they were over the cliff, they could not stop until they were in the water. And in the water, they drowned. Now, if you've been here for a while and you've heard me share about this particular instance, you're probably waiting for this, and so I won't keep you waiting. They committed suicide. Aren't you glad you waited? So those that kept the swine knew what happened. They knew the power of Jesus, and they witnessed Jesus commanding the demons and the demons obeying, and they went to tell others. There is a challenge by Jesus. There's a command by Jesus, and there is a change by Jesus. In verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man. And the demons had departed. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, the people of that city had been afraid to go around the tombs because Legion was there. The children were afraid to even go to bed at night for the fact that Legion might come. And here they see Legion in his right mind. No more a wild man, but a tame man. No more unclothed, but clothed. No more filthy, but clean. And at the feet of Jesus. Being at the feet of Jesus changes things. It can change things in your life. It changes things in my life. Without Jesus, you won't be in your right mind. because without Jesus, your mind is wrong. The people are afraid and they ask Jesus to leave. What a ridiculous thing to do. There have been times when I have shared Jesus and a person has been so taken by conviction, but not wanting to yield, they've asked me to leave. Today, Jesus comes to the heart door of people and offers them the opportunity to be forgiven, to be delivered, to be redeemed. And a person can invite Jesus in their life, or they can reject Jesus and send him away. So Jesus left the area. Legion asked if he could go with him. Please let me go with you. And this is what Jesus said. Return to your home and show how great things God has done for you. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. So Legion goes home. I've thought about this a lot. I thought about the fact of this man that had lived in the tombs, this man that had scared everyone, goes home. Can you imagine the day? Can you imagine people kind of coming out and looking, and they're saying, it looks like Legion, and he's dressed, and he's waving at people as he walks down the street, and he's not howling at anyone, and he's not threatening anyone. Maybe a young boy sees him, and when he sees him, he runs, and he runs to his house, and he runs inside, and he says, Mama, Mama, come quick. Mama, it's Daddy. He's got his clothes on, Mama. And about that time, Legion walks through the door, and he puts out his arm, and his young boy runs and hugs his dad, possibly the first time. And then Legion hugs his wife, and a home is rebuilt because Legion met Jesus. Jesus goes back to the area a little later, and the people aren't afraid of him. The people don't tell him not to come. In fact, the people are thrilled to see him come. Why? Because Legion told the story. Well, Jesus can make a difference in anyone's life. He can make a difference in your life. If you've never met Jesus as your Savior, you need to invite him to come into your heart. He will forgive your sin. He will save your soul. He will do that. He wants to do that. And I plead with you, let him do that. He can bring your mind to correctness. He can calm your fears. He can strengthen you through the dark nights. If you are lost, he will save you. If you were saved, he will stand with you. He will undergird you, and he will give you life worth living. And if he's done that for you, shouldn't you tell somebody? Because others need to hear. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for the message of Legion, Father, for the power that you have to forgive sins, Father, to restore life and to give new purpose, to save our souls and change our lives, and Father, give us a life worth living. I pray now, Father, if anyone is in this room that doesn't know you, that they would come to know you, Father, and they would do that now. I pray for believers, Father, that we would yield our hearts completely to you. And Father, if there is any sin that torments our lives, that we would give it to you, Father, and allow you to deliver us and to use our lives. Father, perhaps there are some that are troubled by mental anguish. And Father, I know that you can step aside alongside them and you can uphold them. And Father, you can clear things for them. And I pray that you will do that, Father, in your mercy, in your care. And Father, show your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you get ready to leave, let me remind you, you have your